You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We got a jam-packed 11 o'clock hour here. We're going to talk to Scott Merk and get a White Sox update, latest on Abreu and all that stuff coming up here in just a minute. Want to encourage everybody to watch us on Twitch today and every day. Download the Twitch app or just go to twitch.tv and search ESPN 1000 Chicago. Also, make sure you've got the ESPN Chicago app on your phone. Catch up on the shows, all the great podcasts, including a podcast that Yurko and I did yesterday that is now up with Adam Cushing, who is the head coach at Yurko's alma mater, EIU University. You know, spring football for FCS, the old 1AA. I mean,
the football championship series.
It's happening.
Here. And you saw Deion Sanders and his Jackson State team won.
Yep.
He had his jewelry stolen. They found it. They found the individual that tried to steal it. So everything's good. Yeah, Jackson State's up and running. The Ivy League's not going to play. They've got about 80% of the teams participating. They've got a seven-game schedule, so they're just putting it together. So they're not taxing everybody. They're not overworking everybody. 16-team playoffs, so they've got things set and ready to rock.
It was good to talk to a coach about the challenges of the pandemic and pushing to spring and how that will, you know, they've got to be prepared now for a quick turnaround into the fall. I mean, he talks about all that. Adam Cushing's also a Chicago guy. He's a Mount Carmel kid, and he coached with Coach Fitz, under Coach Fitz for years
for
at Northwestern.
13 years.
So, great story. You can check out that podcast while you're there. Coming up in a little bit, I want to have a conversation amongst us of something that I heard Waddle and Sylvie discussing yesterday that I thought was very interesting. We'll steal something that they were talking about. And I know we have thoughts on that. We'll do that in about 15 minutes. But right now, let's get out to the Corona hotline and say hi to... Oh, I'm waiting just a minute.
Out to the Corona hotline.
I thought you told
pulling me. Into the He's pulling in right now, Carmen. Give me one more minute.
Okay.
He's pulling out?
It's a good idea.
What's going on? Is he traveling?
Way to play it safe, Scott.
Yeah, well, you better pull out.
At 11:30, we debut a new segment with our buddy Connor McKnight. It is called McKnight at the Movies. That's all I'll say about it for now.
It's a must listen.
It is a brand new segment that will be a recurring segment here.
That's right.
On the Carmen and Yurko show. And it'll be your chance to not only laugh and have fun, but win fabulous prizes. So stick around for that at about 11:30.
By the way, Carmen, before we go to my brother, if I can just give a shout out to my other brother. He's a school teacher, teaches, I believe... God, this is so pathetic. I don't know. I think he teaches second grade.
You really should know when your brother teaches.
Jeff Birkin, there was over 700 people nominated. My brother is now one of the 32 finalists for the Golden Apple.
Wow.
Yes, 10 will be given out.
In Chicago or national thing?
No, it's in Illinois.
Illinois, I believe.
The Golden Apple, which is a very prestigious award for teachers.
So, I bet it is.
So my brother...
in the state of Illinois?
Has done great work there, so I don't know the school he teaches at, unfortunately.
What? You don't know the class or the school?
I mean, you really suck as a brother. Do you know that?
Do you know whenever Merck starts talking about his brother or his other brother, I always think of the Newhart show.
Saying, my brother
Larry. This is my
Larry.
Brother Daryl. Yeah. My other brother Daryl.
My brother Jeff.
This is my brother Scott. He's my other brother Jeff.
I don't know anything about your brother.
He had our former co-worker, colleague Keith Scarulli. He taught all of his kids. Kendall Gill.
Okay,
he taught Kendall Gill's kids.
Great. But you don't know where he teaches and you don't know what grade he teaches.
He runs a bed and breakfast up in Vermont.
That is awful.
Pretty sure he teaches second.
No. I mean, my heavens.
He should be... recognized though for his great contributions.
Well, I mean, if he's a winner. Wait a minute, if he's a winner.
Well, even for being
not a winner, being a finalist. But we're not handing out gift certificates. There's no white ribbons being handed out here for fifth place, champ.
This was
recognized champions.
This was Tony La Russa yesterday talking about Abreu and how he's got to wait to get to camp because of COVID protocol.
Can't beat health. It's like when it rains. Can't beat Mother Nature. He's got to take care of himself on the health front first. And our team also needs him to take care of himself. But the other thing that you look at is, if he can come back Friday or maybe Monday. Monday is March 1st. We got a month. So the good fortune, if there is a good fortune, is that it's at the beginning of the camp. And he's going to be so anxious to go to work that we're going to have to put a tie rope around him, I think.
Sounds, he sounds tired, doesn't he, Tony? He sounds tired. I'm hoping it works. I really am.
Yeah.
I love my wife's side.
You got the talent, Connor.
They've got the talent, and Tony knows baseball. I'll give him that. He sounds tired, but he knows baseball. Let's bring in Scott Merkin. He's on our Corona hotline now. He covers the White Sox for MLB.com, and he joins Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 in the ESPN Chicago app. Do you know what grade your other brother teaches, for crying out loud?
It's second, and I think it's Skinner Elementary is the name of the school. But Randy, while we're doing this interview, Randy should check on Twitter, because I think it might be national. I think it might be more than Illinois for the
group. You are such a better brother. You are such a better brother than Randy. Geez. It's not even funny. I mean, he's got all the details. It's a national award.
I got a lot going on.
Okay.
Tom, right?
All right.
You know, if Randy would have talked to me a little longer, he would have recognized that I did 40 minutes on the elliptical this morning, too, which isn't quite the same honor, but still something to be proud of to start the day, you know?
Yeah. All right, so what's going on with Abreu? He tested positive last month, but he still has these. The whole thing was kind of confusing yesterday. He's got the antibodies, but he still tested positive, but he thinks he had it a month ago. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, all we can go by is what, you know, Rick's statement said, and then what Tony said yesterday is that, you know, he's out. There was some sort of concern that caused further antibody tests the other day when they said they thought he'd be here by Wednesday. And, you know, they seemed, I mean, nothing certain with this horrible thing, obviously, this coronavirus, but they seemed fairly certain that it would be Wednesday. And then it came about that, you know, more testing. He had a positive test. So, you know, through the protocol, he's going to be out for a little bit. And, you know, Tony La Russa said, you know, Friday maybe, but I would bet more like Monday. And one thing you know about Jose is he'll be ready to go. You know, I mean, you hope that there's every person that I've known that's had this, unfortunately, has seemed to have a different reaction to it. You know, some have had very mild symptoms. Some have had mild symptoms, but they've lingered. You know, I don't want to go through the whole thing because I'm far from a doctor. But, you know, you hope it doesn't affect him going into the future. But they seem to be, you know, from what they've told us, they seem to be pretty encouraged that when he comes back, he'll be ready to go. And as Tony said, you know, opening day is April 1st. And I'm guessing that, you know, this is not the old days as players who told me from, like, the 70s where they'd, you know, I remember Hawk telling me once that, you know, players would have, like, jobs in the offseason and they'd use spring training to get into shape.
Yeah.
I know Jose is going to be ready. I know Jose has done a lot of work in the offseason, and, you know, I don't think it'll take him too long to get up to par with the rest of the guys.
Well, on a very relatable note with this whole thing is, you know, you talk about how it is different for everybody. I mean, Moncada was pretty open saying through much of last year he just never really did feel right after contracting it in the spring, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting because, you know, Moncada, I think, speaking of the elliptical, has probably done a few ellipticals in his time. He's in phenomenal physical shape, and it's still affected him. You know, Rick, they had this kind of virtual town hall thing the other day with Rick and Len Casper and Jason Benetti on their YouTube channel, the White Sox. And Rick reinforced what we saw. He talked about how, you know, Moncada in one game against Cleveland, I think it was during that 4-game sweep by Cleveland in Cleveland at the end of the year, he scored from first on a double and they weren't sure he was going to be able to go back in the game.
Man.
He was that, and that guy's in, you know, incredible physical shape. And, you know, it was the same thing pretty much all year for him. You know, he said he didn't have his energy. He didn't have his stamina. And you saw the year before, he had MVP caliber numbers, no question about it. He was one of the best players on that team. And last year wasn't the case. So you hope that a healthy Moncada kind of comes back to the, you know, the same level. Now, one thing to watch is, you know, he's not throwing right now because he has what they've just described as normal early spring training soreness, and they're not concerned about it. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, how long it is before. I mean, he may throw today for all we know, but it'll be interesting to see before he starts throwing from third base again.
Hmm. I mean, really, a lot on this team, Scotty, is set, right? But Kopech is probably, yeah, like, that's the interesting thing to follow, right? Like, what is the spring?
Card.
Yeah, what is the spring like, and what is the plan, you know, organizationally for getting Kopech, like, back up to speed and really helping this team in 2021?
Yeah, I think, you know, based on what Rick said the other day and even a comment Aaron Bummer made yesterday about, you know, Kopech talking to him about trying to figure out a routine in the bullpen. You know, I think he's going to break camp with this team. I really do. I think both him and Crochet are going to be very interesting kind of a combination role where they'll be able to, you know, work some games in relief, maybe serve as an opener here and there, maybe get some starts. You know, there's going to be some 7-inning doubleheaders, obviously, so get some starts there. You know, maybe, you know, be like what I call like a finisher. Now, granted, you paid a lot of money to have the best closer in baseball working for you, but there may be times where they have a little bit of a lead and they don't need the closer where they can, you know, go Kopech for 3 or 4 innings or go Crochet for 3 or 4 innings. And in the same, in helping them be the best team they can be this year. And, you know, let's face it, they didn't hire Tony La Russa to make an incremental jump this year. They hired Tony La Russa to win a World Series this year and the next couple of years. So in being the best team they can be this year, they're also developing Kopech and Crochet, you know, towards what they plan as a starting rotation job for a long time, you know, starting maybe a year from now or 2 years from now.
What, speaking of LaRusso, what do you like about the way they filled out the rest of this coaching staff, Scott?
Well, I think it's just a great mix. You know, he stressed that he wanted some continuity from last year because they had a good group last year. My goodness, they were, you know, one really bad finish away from maybe being the second seed in the playoffs, which could have been a whole different story in the postseason there. So, you know, Joe McEwing is back. Daryl Boston is back. Kurt Hassler does an exceptional job as assistant pitching coach. But they have some new, I don't want to say younger because none of those guys that I mentioned are exactly old, but some new, I don't know, maybe more modern minds in there with Miguel Cairo. Shelly Duncan, had a good talk with him in the offseason, really shrewd baseball person. And how can I forget Ethan Katz, who's getting rave reviews. Oh, and that, yeah. You know, that's not taking away anything from Don Cooper. Don Cooper did a great job there and was there over two decades, right? So, I mean, you got to be doing something right to be – I mean, we've talked about this before, and I've talked to other people about this, that you'll never see the four complete games again that the White Sox threw in the 05 LCS. So, taking nothing away from him, but I think Ethan Katz is really resonating with this group. So, it's a good mix, and, you know, Tony seems to like working with this group overall.
Jimenez last year in the outfield was an adventure. Saw him getting trapped in the nets, not much unlike a salmon in Alaska. What are they doing specifically this year in training camp to protect Eloy from himself?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about Eloy is he works hard to improve. You know, I mean, he took a lot of early work with Daryl Boston. I mean, not a lot, like daily early work with Daryl Boston. And, you know, Rick Hahn has said this and Ricky Renteria said this when he was the manager that, you know, Eloy's goal, besides obviously hitting, which is just a natural for him, he's one of the more potent offensive forces in the American League, is he doesn't want to be the guy replaced in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings for defense. So that's his goal. Now, you know, Rick Renteria talked a little bit about, you know, he thought Eloy could eventually be a Gold Glove winner. I'm not sure on that one. That's going to be a pretty big jump, but I think it's a better team this year for sure if you can have Eloy in left field and a guy like Andrew Vaughn, a designated hitter, right? I mean, I think that's taken nothing away from Engel or Leury Garcia or anyone else who would play left field if Eloy was de-aging, but I think they're just a better setup. So, you know, they're doing the normal work with him and just hope that he continues to progress. You know, it's not like he's a seasoned veteran. He's only played, two seasons, in the big leagues. So he's got time to improve.
Well, I'm an old school guy, not much unlike Tony La Russa, right? So old school guy. I have a suggestion for the coaching staff. Maybe they can go ahead and run this. The sound crunch, 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 turn and look at the wall instead of smash into the wall. That's called the warning track. Yeah. So if you can convey that message to Tony, the crunch, crunch, turn.
When he feels the dirt.
Crunch, crunch, turn.
Check for the wall.
Check for the wall.
But if you remember, you know, Adam Eaton, who I believe was a Gold Glove finalist near the end of his run with the White Sox, he had a few moments like that, too, where he, you know, went right into the wall, too.
Aaron Rowan was the most infamous of them all when he was with Philadelphia and he smashed into the fence.
He was like Bum Bailey.
Oh, my heavens.
He didn't care about the wall.
His nose got smashed.
But he made that catch.
He did make that catch.
He did catch that ball.
Right. I need Eloy not making catches. I need him at the plate.
Yeah,
don't the White Sox fans need to see him at the plate?
I know I do.
Let's hope he's DH-ing about 100 times this year.
Scotty, thanks.
I think staying healthy and improving the defense is key things for him. No question.
Thanks for the update. And next time we talk to you, let's talk about Michigan basketball
right before the tournament.
Okay?
Cousins do for
living. Big game tonight against the Hawkeyes.
There you go. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you. Thanks, Scott. There's Scott Merkin from MLB.com and the much better brother than Randy over here. I mean,
at least he knows you're in the race.
I'm surprised you know your other brother's name for crying out loud. I mean, he's like, he teaches somewhere, some grade. I don't know. He's a finalist for some award.
For the Golden Shot, what? Golden Apple, what? I don't even
Golden
know what
Apple. He teaches second grade at, oh, it just went away.
Skinner, Mark T. Skinner, West Elementary School in Chicago.
Even I know. I was paying attention. Skinner.
Oh my heavens.
Yeah, he's done great things there.
Is that a Montessori school?
No, it's not a Montessori.
Okay.
By the way, my brother mentioned Iowa, Michigan tonight.
Yes.
Illinois takes on Nebraska. Iowa in a game against Michigan State two nights ago. Cheap play by a Michigan State player. He was going up for a layup, smacked him in the face, broke his nose. He's going to have to wear a mask. Not sure if he's going to play tonight.
He might skip the Nebraska game. That would make sense. But Io's going to be masked up when he gets back because, yes, Io DeSumo from Illinois does have a broken nose. Coming up next is Patrick Kane in the top three. We'll be right back.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Quarter unit, maybe a sixth of a unit.
Okay, yeah. Wow, you're a big gambler too. You and Carm.
I'm not as big. No, my unit's not as big as Carm's. Can isolate that, if you
one.
Want to.
I just was waiting for that one to be saved.
Is Carm's unit the biggest at the station?
Definitely not. How much I gamble is not the most of the station either. That would definitely be my partner on the odds couple. That would be Mike Norton.
Oh, yeah, Mikey.
Mike's more of a heavy hitter than I am.
Yeah, Mikey's a player.
Well, he's got the bankroll to back it up.
That's what he's been doing.
I gamble within my means. That has always been my mantra. It will always be my mantra. It should be everybody's mantra. I know it's not that simple. Some people do have problems, and you should call 1-800-GAMBLER if you do, if you're a little bit more compulsive, but... I think my mother hates the fact that I inherited the gambling gene from my grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
She cursed him.
I didn't know you could inherit that, Carl.
Yeah, I think without question it's inherited.
Did she curse him?
It's not even her dad. It's my dad's dad. By the way, it's my dad's birthday today. Happy birthday to the old man. Sweet Lou is 72 today.
No kidding. Yeah, that's happy great. Birthday, so young Sweet still. Lou.
So my dad's dad, who was
1948,
from...
1948, huh? Or 49.
Yeah. My dad's dad...
You know who he shares a birthday with, Carm?
No.
Jerry Reinsdorf.
Happy birthday, Jerry.
And probably one of the top five Bulls of the last 30 years.
Scottie Pippen.
No.
Top five Bulls of the last 30 years.
Top five Bulls. Derrick Rose.
Close. We did a bunch of the legend with him.
Joakim Noah.
Yes.
I don't know if Joakim's a top five Bull of the last 30 years. We might have to dissect that.
Equatorial.
I believe it's also Terry Bradshaw's birthday, too. So.
Yes, I think it is.
Who's Bradshaw's
birthday. Yeah, but, you know, he was a big gambler. But he always gambled in his means. He would tell me that. Always make sure. You know, don't ever bet what you can't afford to lose, you know. And I took that to heart, so... I do it within my means.
I know.
For sure.
I got to throw some out there. I just retweeted a picture from the city of Windsor up in Canada. You want to talk about snow penises?
Yeah.
It looked like Michelangelo's David is what this thing looked like.
It's on Yurko's timeline.
It is absolutely fantastic. Go at Yurko64.
Yeah.
I didn't know there are so many artisans up in the Canadian wilderness.
It's really good.
But there are.
I was listening yesterday. It's excellent. To Waddle and Sylvie.
I mean, is that... I got tears in my eyes. That's how beautiful that is.
As I do every day. And they were having a good conversation about Patrick Kane and his place in Chicago sports history. You know, it's obvious who number one will always be. It's hard to imagine that anybody will ever pass Michael Jordan and what he accomplished. I would say Walter is pretty safely secured in position number two, me personally. They were even having a debate about that. Michael and Walter, to me, are...
Sweetness.
Yeah. I mean, they're one and two. And then I think the debate for three is interesting, you know. Is Scottie still three because being such an integral part of six Bulls championships? You know, Cap this morning was going on and on about Frank Thomas, and Frank was an unbelievable hitter. I'm sorry, Patrick Kane has passed Frank Thomas in terms of accomplishment. He just simply has. I mean, he has. I mean,
I'm listening to you. We have a tendency to forget about our elders. That's what my dilemma and my problem is. Dick Butkus was the most feared linebacker of his time.
And
I'm going to be honest with Patrick Kane. If you're not even the best Hawk in history, and he's not yet.
I think he might be.
He's not. Stosh or Bobby Hall were the best Hawks in the history of the Chicago Blackhawks. Now,
I can buy Stosh.
5 years from now, when Patrick Kane is finished, I think Patrick Kane moves up and one can make an argument. But it's too early, Carm, for you to make that argument. For me.
I don't know, man.
For me, Stosh. You still got Bobby. Just with the Hawks. Much less the football players that belong in front of them.
There are a lot of great Bears. I mean, like Butkus, you know, what Butkus meant to the NFL and what he meant to...
I wouldn't even say Ditka. I wouldn't even put Ditka anywhere near this conversation.
Like, Butkus is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't see Butkus play. That's not necessarily, you know, but still, like, I know well enough of the legend. I've seen enough of the YouTube highlights to know what a game changer he was. I know my football history well enough to know how feared and how dominant a player he was.
He's great in coverage, too. People don't give him credit.
I know. I mean, like, I think that's a fair point. You know, what Kaner has achieved, you know, the cup clinching goal in 2010, the cup, the conference clinching goal on a hat trick. Mm-hmm. That would have been 2015, right? When they knocked, that was
2013
when they knocked out the Kings.
Right. And then they beat Boston.
Yes. He had a hat trick. Oh, and he scored the game winner in overtime. He might be the best American born player ever. He is the only Well, there's a little caveat here. There are two players born in America that have ever won the MVP award, okay, in the National Hockey League. Two.
Brian Leetch.
No. One of them was a guy who played in the 20s and 30s who was born in America but immediately went back to Toronto and grew up playing hockey in Toronto. Really, Patrick Kane is the only American born and bred hockey player to ever win the sport's most valuable player award. Ever. And he might be in the conversation this year, the way he's playing.
And
he's the only one to ever do it.
On the U.S.-Canadian border, Kerm.
Kane, yeah.
But on the U.S. side, you see? It's a proximity issue,
I think. That's true,
Yerko.
You mentioned Leetch. Kaner is one of four American-born players to ever win the playoff MVP award, the others being Brian Leetch and then two goalies, Tim Thomas and Jonathan Quick. There's only four guys that have ever done that. He's been a Rookie of the Year. He's been a Stanley Cup champion three times, a Conn Smythe Award winner, and he's won at least one MVP award. And who knows, maybe he can get another before his career is over. There's a whole lot of accomplishments. This guy has checked off all the boxes, and he's continuing to play at a very high level. And Pat Boyle has said that he has followed like Duncan Keith and a lot of these guys who really are starting to take more serious care of their bodies. Like, I think he wants to play, like you said, another 5 to 8 years where he might have all the stats necessary to be, you know, right there with Michael, Walter, Dick Butkus, Scotty. I think Scotty's an interesting one. And I want to say one more thing. Somebody called into Waddle and Sylvie's show yesterday when they were having this conversation.
Right.
And this kind of thing infuriates me. I know what we all have a lot of bad takes. Like, right, we even joked during the election in November, like, what's the worst? We voted on the worst take ever. Like, we've all had some bad takes.
Right.
Somebody called and said that if it weren't for Michael, Scottie Pippen would never be in any conversation for anything, and he wouldn't have been a good basketball player. There is no, not even bad take, there is no dumber take in sports that Scottie Pippen wasn't a great basketball player. In 1994, when Michael was retired, the Bulls were a 55-win team. Scottie Pippen led the team in points, assists, and steals. He was second behind Horace Grant in rebounds and block shots. He was third in MVP voting. He was third in the NBA in box plus minus. In 1995, the Bulls won 47 games. Scottie Pippen led his team in points, assists, rebounds, blocks, and steals. He was again third in the NBA in box plus minus. He was first team all NBA in 94 and 95. He was all defensive first team 8 times in his career, and he's in the top 25 all time in value over replacement player. The notion that Scottie Pippen is only a household name because he played with Michael Jordan is honestly the dumbest, worst, most uneducated, uninformed take in sports history. He is the prototype for the modern NBA player. He could guard 1 through 4. He's probably the greatest perimeter defender in NBA history. That had nothing to do with Michael Jordan. It is the dumbest take that has ever been out there. And it really drives me crazy that some people continue to think that Scotty is overrated or somehow isn't one of the 50 greatest players of all time. Philly Sid's on ESPN 1000. What's up, Sid?
Hey, Carmen, much like how you can't stand that Scotty doesn't get the credit he deserves, and I'm with you 100% on that. When it comes to the football discussion in Chicago, and mind you, I have a little bit of unique experience because I'm originally from the D.C. area. I'm an Eagles fan. I don't understand why we don't give more love to Wilbur Marshall.
Oh, I love
I understand he was only here for 4 years, but that wasn't because of his doing. That was right. Because the Bears thought that $6 million guaranteed over 5 years was too rich.
They were cheap.
And they wanted the two first-round picks coming back from Washington. And he won 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You look at his statistics. Compare them side-by-side to Brian Urlacher. And the only thing that Urlacher has on him is Urlacher had 300 more tackles playing one more year in the league. Outside of that, he's a 2020 guy. He's got 20 sacks. He's got 20 interceptions in his career.
I know.
That list is very small. Marshall not being in the Hall of Fame right now makes zero sense to me.
That's well said, Phil. From an Eagles fan, from an East Coast guy. Philly said, I think, put that quite well. Yurko loves Wilbur Marshall.
My point I tell everybody is Singletary was the 8th best player on that defense. 8th best player on the defense. He was the third best linebacker because I had Mama's Boy up there too.
Good old Otis.
Now, he benefited. He benefited playing behind that defensive line, float unencumbered to the ball, Singletary did. But what Wilbur could do off the corner with a blitz, same thing with Otis, he could do it too.
Wilbur was pretty special.
Phenomenal. Why, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't get any love for, like, Hall of Fame or anything like that, Wilbur Marshall.
Nobody ever mentions
him.
Never.
You never, you know. You got to get Devin in, but you're not going
to. Well, the problem when you fragment your career like that, you don't get love from anybody, you know?
Yeah, maybe
is
you're
Don
right.
Pearson loving Wilbur Marshall? Is somebody in Washington that's in the press loving Wilbur Marshall to the point they'll take his case to the people?
Interesting point. I mean, Charles Haley did it, though, right? But he was pretty dominant.
Haley was a different animal.
Yeah, but he was an edge rusher, too.
Yeah,
right, you know,
right,
the problem
right.
from Wilbur is that he excelled at both blitzing, as Yerko just said, but also he was a very good pass coverage linebacker.
He was great.
But so when you're good at both and you only register 5 or 6 sacks a year,
right.
you don't get enough credit. Like all the guys, like Haley just pins his ears back and gets 12 sacks.
Yeah, right, gets 15 sacks every year and wins a bunch of titles. That's true. All right, coming up next, McKnight at the Movies. Oh, we've got a new debut segment for you. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Deshaun Watson tweeted about 45 minutes ago. Loyalty is everything. Don't you ever, all caps, forget it. All right. Well, we won't forget it. We're pretty loyal. Loyalty is everything. Don't you ever forget it. Let's convince him that the Bears are very loyal. Turn your mic on.
Loyalty, a two-way street, Carm. I'm just asking. Just not even in his specific case.
Yeah.
But isn't loyalty a two-way street? If you're going to be loyal to somebody's got to be loyal back to you, right?
Or if you want somebody to be loyal to you, should you be loyal to
them? Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Two-way street, that's all I'm saying.
Interesting.
I'm not indicting anyone. I'm just saying it's a two-way street.
Interesting. Deshaun Watson, we are loyal here in Chicago. We want you here. We want you to come to Chicago. You will come to Chicago, Deshaun Watson.
Goodbye, Roquan Smith. We didn't know you at all. Yeah, the speed, the tackle guys. But we want Deshaun Watson.
That's your next song you got to write.
I've seen people floating the idea of the Niners giving up 3 and 4 first-round picks and Nick Bosa.
Mm. Wow.
Get Watson. That's what I'm saying, though. If he becomes available, there will be a bidding war.
And that blows away anything the Bears can
Absolutely.
Offer.
That's the thought process.
I mean, even though Bosa's coming off an injury, like, good Lord in heaven.
Yeah. Best young pass rusher in the NFL?
I think Chase Young maybe, but I mean, he's up there.
Miles Garrett's pretty good.
One of the top 3 or 4 in the league.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have a new segment. You know, our buddy Connor McKnight, it's great to have Connor on board. He's going to be doing, you've heard him doing White Sox Weekly. He's going to be doing pre and post for the White Sox. We're your new home for White Sox baseball.
Yeah, we are.
And Len, contractually, the way this thing is set up, is going to be doing about 25 games on TV, I think. Stoney's going to be taking some time off throughout the course of the year. So Len Casper, the radio voice here on ESPN Chicago, is going to be away from the radio for 25 games, and Connor's going to step in and do the play-by-play. Connor's got experience doing play-by-play, and what we've asked him to do for us going forward is every Thursday, he is going to do play-by-play, not recite line for line, but he's going to do play-by-play from famous movies, and if you guess it, you have a chance to win.
McKnight at the Movies. Connor McKnight recreates classic cinema on Carmen and Yurko, only on ESPN Chicago.
Weather moving in, which could affect playing conditions a little later on in the afternoon. Right now, though, taking a look at a man who's clearly not supposed to be here. Seems to know what to do with the tool in his hands, but not much of a sense of where he is, where he's supposed to be, or what he should be doing. My word, he's destroying the gardening in and around the course. Clearly going to be addressed by these two older gentlemen. No, looks like he's going to avoid that. Oh, they're concerned about the weather, these two older fellas. This man's going to stay here on the path, and it looks like he's just got a thing for these flowers. He's going to destroy more flowers. Four rows, white, orange, yellow, and white, seemingly the colors of the club. And this man is just destroying them with reckless abandon, without any sort of care in the world, seemingly intentions as dirty as his clothes. This potentially homeless man just wreaking havoc here on the cart path of this illustrious golf course. What a shame.
That was phenomenal. The play-by-play guys have a knack, man. I can't do it. Yeah. Like, Connor's literally watching that scene, just doing it. First correct caller wins the Geno's East gift card, 312-332-3776. That was really well done for the first time.
When's the last time you've done play-by-play?
Me?
Yeah.
I did play-by-play with Hawk for a couple games back in spring training of 2005.
How nervous were you?
I was nervous. You know, you're with Hawk.
How much did you prepare?
I prepare. You know me, Merk.
Over-prepare.
I'm a big over-prepare guy, right? But that doesn't mean you can just start doing play-by-play.
Right.
And then I was the color analyst with Jude when we did some college hockey a couple years ago when it was Notre Dame.
Those games.
Yeah, Miami of Ohio. Like, Jude amazed me. Dave's not much of a hockey fan, you know, and when they asked me, I said, I can't do hockey play-by-play. I said, I know a thing or two about the game. I'll do the analyst work, but I said, I can't do play-by-play. I said, Jude,
It's quick.
And Jude, like, they just have a knack. Jude used to work with us here in Chicago.
Right, the Green Bay Ice. I did play-by-play for a Green Bay Ice game when I was with the Packers. Green Bay Ice, before they became the Gamblers.
Before they became the Gamblers?
The Green Bay Ice. They weren't a USHL team, nothing. They had an affiliation with some four or five teams up in Minnesota and such.
Because now they're the Gamblers. They're part of the USHL.
I had no idea what the hell I was doing. And that's where I met Don Granato when they became the Gamblers. That's why I bumped into him.
Yep.
But I had no idea what the hell I was doing. Not only that, I told the guy I was doing it with, John Mino, I said, you need to do... play-by-play. I get to sit back and I get to talk.
I'm the analyst.
And he goes, no. He goes, I think you can do it. You could do it. I had Coral and Pitt Martin on the Boldarev. Well, I didn't know these guys' names up and down the ice. I had 1,000 different guys on there. And the radio professionals that were sitting down there, like the Les Grobsteins of Green Bay. And I'm like, guys, I don't know why the hell they made me do that. I said, I was so ill-prepared. I go, it was awful.
They made you do it because you're a famous Packer.
They looked at me and they go, yeah, Yerk, it was pretty bad. I go, I appreciate your honesty, fellas.
It's hard, man. I'm telling you. And like these guys who do play-by-play just have a knack. They can watch it and they're just good with words and they can describe it. That was really well done by Connor. And our winner, Merk, are we going to put him on the air or just announce who it was? Want me to put him on the air? Oh, just announce. Okay. Rob Wachowiak from Lockport knew that, of course, the scene that Connor was describing there was Caddyshack. We got a bunch of people on Twitter chiming in, too, going, it's Caddyshack, chiming in. It's Bill Murray and Caddyshack. That's exactly what it was. It was Bill Murray. It's an old.
I like that.
That was really good. Connor will do that every Thursday.
I can't wait for the Shawshank Redemption shower scene.
That's next on the list.
Andy Dufresne. Well, there he is. He's protecting himself.
If we gave
himself.
It away, we might have to kind of mix it up now.
We'll save it for a few weeks.
There he is protecting himself. Oh, no. They're manhandling him now. Oh, boy. What flexibility out of Andy Dufresne.
That could be a few different
movies.
Skang seems to call themselves the sisters.
Let's go to Tim and Elgin. On ESPN 1000. Oh, my God. What's up, Tim?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on?
Nothing much. I wanted to call and respond to what you just said about Scottie Pippen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't hear what the caller said exactly yesterday, but based upon what you said, I do agree, and I think we have to acknowledge that Scottie Pippen became who Scottie Pippen became because of Jordan. Now, what Scottie did in 94 and 95 was absolutely phenomenal, and I think he should have won MVP that year, Michael left.
Yeah.
But I think part of that was because he played with Michael. Remember, Scottie didn't start coming out of college. He was having the infamous migraine games against Detroit. He wasn't mentally tough. He had the attributes inside him, I believe, but because of Jordan helped bring those things out of Scottie, and I don't believe Scottie would be a top 50 player had he not played with Jordan. Now, it's not all because of Jordan, but a lot of it is a result of playing with Jordan.
All right, Tim. Thank you.
That's well stated. Well, I don't mind.
Did he bring out some of the best in him? Perhaps he did. But I'm telling you, from a physical standpoint, right. What Scotty could do, was he a perfect player? No. Did he have the migraines? Did he have the 1.8 seconds? Yes. There were some disappointing moments along the way in Scotty's career. We've all acknowledged that. Scotty's skill set is literally the prototype
right.
of today's NBA player. He was 30 years ahead of his time. As a player that could handle the basketball from the forward position, versatile enough to guard multiple positions. Scotty was really good enough to guard 1 through 4. He could guard point guard, shooting guard, and a wing, and even a bigger player on the block if he needed to. Center, I would say, maybe a little bit of a stretch, especially the centers of his era that were so big and so physically dominant inside. Scotty could literally guard 1 through 4. He was the prototype for today's athletic, long, rangy wing player. That's what he was. His contributions to this league, I mean, even if you took the championships out, which you can't, he helped the Bulls win those. He helped Michael win those. Even if you took them out, his impact on the way this game is played and the type of player that the NBA basically looks for today is all a direct result to Scottie Pippen's skill set. He was that good and that influential on this game. I'm sorry. He was. Whether you like it or not, or you think he only became what he became because of Michael, no. Did they need each other? Were they good for one another? Yes, they were.
But I think that's what's being said, that he drew that out of Scottie, where it might have been something that stayed inside that. What he ended up was bringing the best out of, and you bring the best out of teammates sometimes.
Okay, well,
and it's okay, but maybe Pippen being around Jordan and seeing what the hell Jordan was
learn
like,
how to work.
You learn how to work. You learn that you could be a little bit tougher than you actually are sometimes.
It is so to me.
That's not a bad thing.
To insinuate that Scotty would not have been a great
player. I don't think our caller was saying that at all.
No, I know. I know what Tim was saying.
I think for Jordan to win the championships, he needed Scotty, and for Scotty to become the player that he became. He did need the exposure. The exposure.
I like that you acknowledge that.
Do you like the way I'm saying
it? Yes, and I like
the exposure.
And I like that you acknowledge that Michael needed Scotty's impact, too.
Absolutely. And they always needed the third. They needed OG. They needed Rodman. Yes. Eventually, even though they hated him, they needed Tony Kukoc.
You always need a big three.
Even though Tony didn't realize why he was being hated.
Tony handled it well. That's why I like Tony so much.
Yeah.
He took the crap and he just kept on going.
Yep.
Go ahead, Merck.
Shout out to Scottie's son. Scottie Pippen Jr. was the SEC Player of the Week for Vanderbilt last week.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
Scottie
nice.
Scottie Pippen Jr.
And $3, I can go get myself a big extra large cup of coffee, cream, and sugar down at Dunkin'.
We'll be right back. This hour of the show is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Go to ChicagoWolves.com for streaming packages to watch every Wolves game live from home. We are Chicago. We are hockey. We are the Wolves.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
Hawks in Columbus again tonight, 6 o'clock puck drop. Kaner's on a tear right now. Let's see if he can keep it continuing. The Blackhawks can pick up two more. Malcolm Subban will start between the pipes tonight, not Lincoln.
And the youngster that's been chasing a goal finally got his goal.
Brandon Hagel finally got his. I believe it's 5 rookies now, and the Blackhawks have scored their first NHL goal this season.
I hope they found a way to get that puck to him, and ahead and put that one away. It's absolutely marvelous for the young man.
If I were looking for a futures prop right now and maybe just hope they continue to play well and then sell them on prop swap, Austin Matthews and Patrick Kane for MVP. Connor McDavid's a pretty overwhelming favorite. Maybe he splits the vote with his teammate a little bit, though, up in Edmonton. Yep. Matthews is, you talk about a kid who's playing great. Austin Matthews and the Leafs have played really well. So you get a little bit better value. You get very good value on Kaner right now. If he continues playing like this, who knows? And the Blackhawks sneak into the playoffs because nobody expected that. So Kaner or Austin Matthews, maybe sprinkle a little bit of couch change just for some long odds or some better odds on MVP.
Wonderful, wonderful. Hey, I got to show a shout out to the Illinois DNR.
The DNR is?
The DNR is Department of Natural Resources. They're in charge of licensing.
That's right.
The licenses run from March to March. Mm-hmm. March 1 to March 1. the last week of the hunting year and the fishing year, they decided to go ahead and revamp their website. I went on the website the other day looking to get my license, couldn't do it. I made a phone call down there. Not only did they call me back once, they called me back twice to make sure everything was hunky-dory. If every facet of government ran as smoothly and efficiently as the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, there'd be zero issues in the great state of Illinois. I promise you that.
I wish they'd be run like that.
So that, I want to go ahead and say thank you very much for that. Got the license. Everything's set for heading down to Effingham. We're going to have a ball. Hopefully we shoot 7,000 snow geese.
You're hunting some snow geese this weekend.
Snow geese. Nuisance. It's the nuisance season.
Yeah, right.
So theoretically, if we could shoot 10, 15,000, they'd let us shoot 10, 15,000. Of course, we're harvesting all that.
There's no limit on those because they are a nuisance.
They're a pain in the butt. They go up to Canada and they destroy the tundra up there. I want to throw a shout out to my guy, Billy Alcott. He's been at Bourbon and Bacon.
Yes, he has.
30 years, law enforcement official, the police chief of Homewood, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
He's hanging up the shield.
Wow, that's hanging right next to the name.
Hanging up the shield. That's right. He's taking the Glock and he's going to put it down.
Love Billy Alcott.
Retiring after 30 plus years in law enforcement. So we throw a big shout out to Billy Alcott. We congratulated him on 30 plus years of wonderful service.
Yeah, he's come and supported our event for the CF Foundation.
Bourbon and Bacon. And the guys come up.
I believe Billy was a Marine, right? I think because he and my dad have talked about that.
I thought
Billy served in the Marine Corps. My dad did as well. And they've talked about that at Bourbon and Bacon. So, yeah, congrats to Billy.
Yeah.
And, have fun. Yeah, have fun. Snow geese hunting. Is that good eating? Snow geese?
Listen, you breast them out and you make goose sticks out of them. My guys shot like 400 plus of them in North Dakota one year. They stopped in Aurora. They dropped off all the meat. The butcher keeps half. Then he makes the half into goose sticks.
Really?
Absolutely wonderful. They're unbelievable. And you can make beef jerky out of them, too.
No kidding.
When they eat, they eat like in Texas. They're eating rice, wild celery. They're eating other stuff down there. They taste better. In Canada, they eat grass.
So when they're going... When they're migrating back north is the time that they taste better.
They'll taste a little bit better because they've cycled out the crappy diet that they get in Canada.
Okay.
And they're eating the good stuff down here in the Americas, grain and such.
Yurko is a fount of knowledge, isn't he?
I mean, and if we don't shoot him, we'll be drinking. It doesn't make a difference. We're still going to be drinking and having a good
time. And I'm glad they hooked you up with the license. I go on that website every March. Like Yurko said, you got to get your fishing license for March. So I buy my yearly fishing license every March to make sure I have it. And
a 4-day license as a non-resident cost me $57. And that's fine.
Not too bad.
Hunters and fishermen have always supported what's happening in the wildlife. And
I buy one in Wisconsin every year, too, because I fish in Wisconsin.
I do Indiana. I go here. And then if I do go to Wisconsin to fish, I buy a non-resident 4 or 5 day when I'm up there.
Absolutely.
I think fishing would just be so boring.
Well, it depends. If you're catching fish, it's not boring.
I mean, you need to branch out, Merck.
No,
I mean,
I don't.
You do, though. You don't really do anything.
Carm, take
his kids fishing.
Oh, Brett would probably love it.
You know, we got coming, guys, in March, early season coho. The minute the ice goes, early season warming, all the coho will come down in that southern basin over there by the steel mills in Whiting, Indiana over there. Boy, that's some good fishing, man. You have yourself a nice time. You see a lot of boats out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And let me tell you, Merck, you've never tasted a Swedish fish until you've actually caught one from the river.
That's right.
It tastes so much better when you do it yourself.
I didn't know you could do that.
Think about that. Merck, you never know. You might like it. You need to branch out, kid.
You should take the kids fishing.
I like what I do, and that's what I do.
But what do you do? What's your hobby?
You eat chocolate.
What's your hobby?
I like to play golf.
Okay, that's good. I mean, that's your thing, though. There's nothing other than golf. I mean,
I like to watch golf. I like to watch my kids in their activities.
That's not a hobby. Okay. That's you being a good dad.
Okay.
Thank you to everybody who called and participated in the show today. Thanks to Tracy Butler and Scott Merkin. Great work by Randy Merkin, J.R. Strauss, and Jeff Meller. Greeny's next, Waddle and Sylvia, too. And one of our Twitch chatters has the final word today.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
This comment from Twitch from the handle OopsVN. Why is it every time I turn on Twitch, I think Carm is Ben Affleck?